The snowplow crashed through the fence in the backyard and rammed into the back of our house. 4 a.m., February 10th, kabam, clatter, 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 clatter. Out of balance washing machine, the whole house. All of 7 seconds, maybe. We awoke with, what the devil was that? And leapt from our bed, peering through the windows to the patio door, then the front door. Nothing. Winter winds ripping vinyl siding off the house. Bison stampede. Other neighbors were hit by snowplows too, and thieves trying to break in, and airplanes crashing, and someone said, terrorist attacks. What a morning in Sycamore, Illinois. Of course, it was none of these. But never in 20 years would I have guessed what it was here in northern Illinois. Our neighbor Joe, the science teacher and newly minted meteorologist, he guessed it, however, and guessed it right. He sat up, thermometer straight, in bed at 4 a.m., according to his wife Carolyn, and exclaimed, earthquake, 4.3. And then by her report, he dropped back into a satisfied slumber. Not me. My brother texted me soon after. Are you guys okay? We were at the epicenter of the news, the Today Show, CNN, Facebook, calls from friends, aftershocks of sympathy and attention. I think we're going to be okay, I said. And we would be, since nary a picture frame had fallen over in the natural disaster. Never mind that the 7.0 earthquake in Haiti just weeks before had wiped out about 100,000 people. This would be the topic of conversation for all in Sycamore for the next week. So, did you survive the quake? Did you feel it? What'd you think it was? Where were you when it happened? It was something to call our own, something unique, something to talk about finally after a long winter. We were important. Apparently, we sit on a fault line here in northern Illinois. Who knew? Yes, we were at the center. That is, until the quake got downgraded to a 3.8 and the epicenter got moved 3 miles east. Some Chicago comedian said that doctors don't even cancel circumcisions during a 3.8 earthquake. I felt robbed. Oh well, it was a good Midwestern earthquake, wasn't it? Good while it lasted, a minor rumbling predicated by decades of uncomfortable silence, hidden faults brewing just beneath the surface, aunts and uncles talking in whispers. Apparently, and this was not reported in the Daily Chronicle, the earthquake apologized afterwards. I'm sorry, he said. I didn't mean it. I was just tired. It's okay, we said. It's no big deal. And then we drank some coffee and had some zucchini bread. We made circles with the toes of our shoes in the imaginary dust of linoleum until someone asked, so is there supposed to be snow this week? No hard feelings, earthquake. It's okay. Don't be a stranger.
There is just so much rich material, so much meat on that bone when it comes to like talking about the Midwestern voice and sense of place. I love how the earthquake puts Sycamore, Illinois on the national map until, oops, it wasn't a 4.3. The epicenter was actually to the east, and I felt robbed, you write. This gets to the heart, I think, of this story and to a lot of your writing. You seem to be saying, can't we get a little respect here in the middle of the country. Yeah. Uh-huh. How surprised were you that in the end it was just like, nothing really?
I think that's just typical Midwest, that our expectations are set low. And so we probably thought it was going to get bumped anyway. So we wouldn't know what to do around here. If that attention had continued, we would have been embarrassed. So it was probably good that it worked out that way.
Now, there's another story in this book about you being trapped on a ship between the Door County Peninsula and Washington Island. Yeah. This is a site of shipwrecks of yore, and it's winter and the ice is forming. And suddenly your ship is trapped in the ice. You're no longer moving, and you make a big deal of this to your friend years later when you describe this. Uh-huh. And she starts asking questions like, well, did you have food and water? Was there a bathroom? What happened next?
Yeah.
And I'll let you answer.
We broke free and that was it. That's all that happened. We were stuck out there for 45 minutes, I think, maybe. But the ferries going from the mainland to Washington Island, they're not ice cutters, so they just come up on the ice, and then they crush it underneath. But if it's too slow or too cold, the wind's blowing a certain way, you can get frozen in. And so there's stories in the past of, you know, whole truckloads of people falling through the ice, but That was as close as I got to death, I think, in the winter. So
robbed again.
Again, right, yeah. And I was thinking about this theme that runs through all Midwestern literature, if there's such a thing, as just this humility, like living kind of at the whim of weather and of land and agriculture. So I think there's always this sense of like whistling through the cemetery kind of, and maybe through all of my things. So you're always on the edge of like something could happen.
Yeah. Now, in modern times, modern agriculture, you know, we're not so dependent on the whims of nature as we used to be.
Yeah. Well, I think there's still the voices of grandparents that still rumble around. I think there's still the voice of maybe for some either Protestant or Catholic guilt that rolls around there. I think there's that sense of just I'm lucky to be here kind of thing. So yeah, I think that still is the mindset.
Of course, you live here now. Mm-hmm. You could have chosen to live somewhere more exotic, a place with tropical storms and
yeah.
panthers yeah. and stingrays, but you live here.
Yeah.
What keeps you here?
Well, I think it's that, all of that, the humility of that. I think there's the beauty of the place. I'm from Wisconsin originally, which I think is pretty exotic if you look around. But I was a friend who moved from Northern Illinois and lives in Florida, and she went through Hurricane Irma, like sat it out. But the next day or something, she texted or tweeted that I'd rather go through a hurricane than 30 below winters was her sentiment after kind of living it out. And it's like,
we really do have it tough
here. Puffs you up, right? Yeah.
Kyle White is the author of Neighbor As Yourself. At WNIJ.org, you can see a video of him reading another story, Old Man Mixtapes. Kyle, it's been fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.